Now, in Australia, whose responsibility is it to make sure regions are able to transition from old industries and still maintain their economic viability?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and the problem is that it's everyone's responsibility and no one's responsibility. So you'll often find that regions going through tough times will get some forms of state government assistance. Sometimes they'll get federal government assistance. And always, I think, local governments will be there to provide what they can. But of course, local governments really don't have that many resources to deal with these issues. And the end result is too often it all falls betwixt and between. That is, no one really has an overarching view about what needs to be done and how to achieve it. So we often get really bad outcomes.
So what have the consequences been for these towns under the current structure of economic growth?
Well, I think what often happens is that, well, depending on where they're located, but you get very high rates of unemployment. You get even higher rates of underemployment. So that's when people aren't as working as many hours as they'd like to work. And you often see a lack of investment. And eventually, if you're talking about rural areas, and even some suburbs, you often see boarded up shops, which really is a clear indication that things aren't going well.
So how can we change the leadership structures in a way that gives more power to these underspoken and underrepresented areas of our community?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to acknowledge is that other parts of the world simply do this task much more effectively than we do. And I think really it's about trying to learn the lessons from what they do in places like Italy, Finland, the United States and the United Kingdom. And really I think it's about giving knowledge, information about government processes to local communities and their leadership, including mayors, so that they can have meaningful discussions about what is possible and what isn't possible, and where necessary they can challenge that authority to achieve better outcomes. One of the things that struck me from our research was that when you talk about plant closures in a place like Italy, for example, it's the mayor who brings everyone together. It's the mayor who works with the media, with the church, with the civil society organisations to develop a response and actually get everyone working together to deliver good outcomes for their community. We simply don't see that in Australia. Too often politicians make short-term announcements that really address one aspect of the problem confronting the community, but then other things fall away and the impact's really quite modest.
So in that case, do you think it should be people power? If it's not coming from politicians, should it be everyone rallying together to make change?
Yeah, I think there's a part to it, but one of the things I would say is that leadership is really quite an expensive exercise. It's hard work. It's tough being a leader. And I guess that's one of the reasons why we pay our leaders in corporations and in government so well. And it's really unrealistic to expect people living in a small country town or even a declining industrial suburb to be able to shape their future without some sort of assistance. So we really need to work as a community to agitate for change and then push our members of parliament, push our local media to really agitate for better outcomes for places. We can't just accept the press releases that come out of central governments.
We're speaking about regional development with business professor Andrew Beer from the University of South Australia. Now, Andrew, just in the northern suburbs, Elizabeth, which was formerly a place where they were building lots of cars, there was lots of employment and growth kind of happening there. That's all shut down now. How do you rate, in regards to this discussion, the changes that has been happening in that part of town?
Yeah, it's a really interesting case. I think really there's been economic change of an adverse nature taking place in the northern suburbs of Adelaide for at least a period that goes back into the 1970s. And it's worthwhile remembering that unemployment rates in South Australia have recently just dropped. But I think that's actually a really good example where governments have taken quite a holistic approach because they realise that this really is an important issue. And they've put together a whole comprehensive suite of actions, and I think that's helped prop up that economy in the longer term. So it's been about encouraging the growth of the defence industry. It's about developing a northern plan. It's been about a lot of infrastructure development. And to a degree, I think it's also been about skills acquisition for the workforce. So I think that's actually an example where where governments try hard and where they really make this a focus of their activity, you can actually get pretty good outcomes.
Now, as younger Australians and journalists, we're often told we should go regional if we want to find work and if we want to afford property. Is that a realistic ask? Will that rejuvenate the economy in regional areas?
Well, look, I think it's always good for younger people to get experience in regional Australia, partly, I think, because there are often professional opportunities in regional communities that you don't find in the more competitive labour markets of the major metropolitan areas. So I think for many young people, it's a really good strategy. I know some of the graduates I've taught over the years have gone and worked in local governments, in health authorities, etc., and they've really used that to catapult their careers and get good outcomes. And in some instances, they've chosen to stay in those places. And other instances, they've come back to the major metropolitan centres when they're ready to do so. So it can be a good step. I don't know if it's really a good step in terms of a property acquisition strategy because, of course, housing can be unaffordable in regional Australia as well. So it may not be the smartest move if that's what their goal is in life.
Now, Andrew, is the problem or a big part of it just the fact that Australia is so big as far as, you know, general land mass goes and we're so spread out where people live and there's just not enough of us to fill the spaces and make regional areas, you know, worthwhile and sort of a bit more active?
Yeah, look, I don't buy that argument because really we only inhabit a relatively small part of the continent. You know, the agricultural parts of Australia really are only about 20% of our land mass. And if you compare us to, say, Finland, which is quite literally at the other end of the world, but that only has a population around 6 million people, it has a large land area and it has an economy that's built on resources and tourism. Now, our economy is built on resources and tourism. We have a large land mass. And we have problems of remoteness as well. But the Finns seem to find solutions to these problems that escape us. For example, over the last decade or so, the Finns have turned tourism to go and see the Northern Lights into a really big thing. They've turned honeymooning from Japanese and Chinese couples in the far north reaches of Finland into a really big economy for them as well. But we seem to struggle with those issues, and I think really it comes down to a lack of leadership.